All right, back with more action for the System Center. Oh, wait, not System Center.
No.
Wait, the Transforming the Data Center Initiative, right?
That's right.
Infrastructure management, and we're going to be talking about expanding across the clouds. We did a little bit of self-service and automation with Brannon.
That's right.
And now we're going to be talking about the even more fun stuff, right?
Yeah, so now not only can I do those things that Brannon showed you on-premises, but I can expand to my hoster, or I can expand out to Windows Azure. And we're going to show you some of that today in this sessions right here. So if we look at it, one of the things about a cloud is that on-premises, I probably have many, many different types of resources. I got my Dell servers, HP, IBM, Fujitsu, whatever. I mean, they're all these different kinds of servers. But not only that, I got my network, I got my storage, I got multiple different types of SAN, iSCSI, Fibre Channel, whatever. How do I get the most out of all of those resources when this guy's sitting over here and this guy's sitting over here? How do I pull them together? Well, that's Brad's challenge. And Brad's challenge is that I have all of these different servers out there, but I'm not using all this capacity. What do I do? And Richard, because you know, you guys as the IT pros, you know what you can do, and that is pull those resources together. Use System Center to treat all of those resources as just one big pool and then dole out what you need to whoever needs it.
Right. And so, and that's a lot of power right there too. I mean, especially if you just have VMware and you got a lot of capacity there.
Right.
You know, you spin up Windows Server with virtual machines and stuff like that. Hey, pull it all. Pull it all together with System Center. Yeah.
And that's the thing, is that System Center not only can manage your compute, storage, and networking, but also your multiple different hypervisors and pull them together to one common cloud. And then take that cloud and dole out particular resources to just the individuals that need it. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that when these resources are deployed, let's say I have a Hyper-V cluster that's sitting out there, and I'm running a lot of servers on there, and everything's running fine, but over time, I just start filling up the capacity. Well, why not just deploy another Hyper-V cluster, and then using tools like we showed before, shared nothing, live migration, move those resources between clusters to really distribute the resources more effectively within my farm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that we're going to talk about today, but we showed you how to do that earlier when we did that shared nothing live migration. So now we can migrate these workloads to where they need to be to effectively handle all these changes and this need for growth and demand of my resources. And then lastly, I want to be able to build these a way for people to create automated self-service deployment or request for different types of resources. So, you know, Luis here, when he started, says, hey, Brad, can you check that email I sent you? Because how many times do you get emails from somebody saying, hey, can you give me a little more of this resource? Can you deploy that server for me? Can you do all this for me?
Little this, little that. You as the IT guy just keep getting pulled to do more, right?
You keep getting it from every single direction.
Yep.
And how can you get your actual work done when, oh, can you do this for me? It's a fire drill. Do it right now or whatever. Well, let's stop that pain and by building this self-service capability, building this service catalog. You don't even have to wait for me to respond to you. You just go in, make the request, hit go, and if I like you, or I mean if you're automatically approved, it'll just go on and it'll happen. If you're not automatically approved, once I approve it there, then the automation will take effect. So I don't have to lose that in my email because I get hundreds, if not thousands, of these a day.
Right, and really, then the cool thing and the power too is in the automation and the capabilities that you can set up. Right, with Service Manager, you can set up Exchange Connector and say if an email comes in with this specific template or this kind of thing,
right,
hey, do some kind of action based on that.
Exactly, and they can send an email to a specific email box or something like that,
right,
or they could just go online to our service catalog and get this thing requested and up and running quickly. So you go to the service catalog, you make your service request, because I've created these specific offerings that I want you to be able to access. Then once those requests are created, you can either have it automatically or manually approved on that request, and then build in some really cool workflows to automatically do the request and fulfill it for the customer. And then in this case, they wanted a new service. We build in this runbook that does that provisioning and then gives them access via App Controller so that they can see and utilize those resources available to them.
And then it says CMDB down there below. That's talking about the database that's in Service Manager to kind of unify things. So if you, you know, Service Manager's really cool because it pulls in all those different Service Manager components in the, and that data in there to give you a standardized view, reporting, or compliance based on any number of the System Center components.
Exactly. And not only that, it integrates with Operations Manager. It integrates with Orchestrator. It integrates with VMM, where it'll pull the service templates from VMM and build configuration items inside the CMDB for your templates. It will pull the server names that are deployed on Operations Manager so that those configuration items will be in your CMDB so that you can do business reporting upon them. And all that integration together means that I, as an organization, as you'll see later on today, can report out and figure out exactly what's happening on my system, exactly who owns what, and maybe if I want to build in some chargeback, something like that.
There you go.
All right, so this next experience and the story we're going to do is we're going to talk about how do we take the learnings that we learned in story A, the service delivery and automation, and start moving them across clouds, not only deploying to on-premises, but deploy to Windows Azure or something like that. And we have three different stories that we're going to do here. We want to show this consistent view across clouds. We want to deploy a service to Windows Azure, and we want to show you how you can modify and manage your runbooks to really automate this process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there'll be a point, right, where, you know, in any organization, pretty much, where you're going to tap out on your hardware, right? unless you're super proactive and you just keep ordering more and more above and beyond.
Or you start not growing and shrinking, and then no one wants that.
Right, and that's not good either, right?
You're going to need those extra resources. You're going to need to expand, and that's what you're saying, right?
And that's where this comes into play, right? Expanding to the cloud resources.
Exactly. So back on the environment, and here we're just going to click the expand across clouds. And the story here is that you've set up all your on-premises infrastructure, and everything's going fine there, but you know that that's not going to be able to satisfy all the needs of your environment. So Richard, or us, basically says, we've already set up with our hoster Fabricam, a local hoster, and requested some resources from there. We've also set up some subscriptions in Windows Azure, and we're going to leverage both of those to be able to get the most out of our resources and deploy things to the most cost-effective environment. Maybe that application, it's best to run at Fabricam, so let's run it there. It's cheaper to run it on-premise, let's run it here. No, it's better to run in Windows Azure. We have the choice. We're the only company that actually brings you that choice. Everybody else, it's usually a one-way lock-in type thing.
Right, and you bring up a really good point, right? I mean, I just mentioned, oh, well, you're tapping out of your hardware. Well, that's only really one scenario.
Right.
If you start thinking into that mode, hey, it may be way more efficient, or there may be capabilities, let's say, that the cloud offers that you don't even have on-premise, right?
Exactly.
And so there's other variables there where you might want that workload in any one of those places.
Yeah. Exactly, and maybe you don't have the people to support it all on-premise. Well, you have a hoster that all they do is work on these servers every day. They got a lot of efficiencies in there. Let them do some of that work for you. Mm-hmm. And you know, depending on the organization, maybe an operational charge is cheaper than a capital cost. And you can really figure those things out, treat the business smart, and use the right technology for the actions that you need. Mm-hmm. All right, so in this environment here, we're going to connect into App controller of our environment. And from there, we'll be able to start looking at what kind of resources people have access to. And Luis, now that you've added that cloud and it's available for him, could do things on the private cloud. But Luis himself just wants to see, well, where do I have those access and that connections for?
Yeah, and we mention here consistent view, right? And we mm-hmm. keep bringing it up App controller, but the point being is that, you know, with this Cloud OS vision and the products that we have under this Transform the Data Center is that you have a consistent view across all the clouds as a product as a whole, right? And so
right.
a lot of the different areas will be able to detect, you know, resources in different places, right? Pulling it together with things like Service Manager and Service Manager pulls from all these different places. You know, obviously there's a lot of variables here, but you know, App controller is one of your major places that you go to provision those cloud resources, right?
That's exactly right. All right, so as the site comes up, I'm going to log in as Luis. So I, being Luis, the application owner, need to know which resources I have access to. And as I log in here, it shows me only the clouds and services that I have available to me. So even though we may be sharing the same cloud, I'm not going to see your clouds. I'm not going to see your services. I'm only going to see the ones that I've deployed and I have permission to see. It uses that permissions inside of VMM as well as Windows Azure to see just the services that I have permissions. And we see over here in the clouds, we see I have three clouds available to me, and I have my Fabricam cloud available and my Windows Azure subscription. All of these things are available to me, and we know now how much of those resources I have and how much I can deploy to. Like you'll see later on, I can deploy this and view this as a list view or as a cloud view. It doesn't matter. It depends on what's more simple for me and what I, as an administrator, can effectively see to basically understand what I have access to. Now, one thing I'm going to do, I'm going to add a little bit more into here because this is all done via Virtual Machine Manager. So Virtual Machine Manager allows me to show you how the resources are set up. It also allows me to, as a hoster, to specify different access capabilities between the different my tenants. So VMM now is what you would call multi-tenant aware and allows an organization to create these tenants that are totally isolated from one another. And because of that, the most important thing when I start using a hoster like Fabricam or something like that is that they want to ensure that Company A can't see Company B's data. Company B can't talk to or do anything to the virtual machines on Company A. So we set up isolation with multi-tenant in VMM, but that requires network isolation as well. And VMM 2012 does a lot for network isolation. And one of the things we do is VM networks. Hyper-V allows me to virtualize my network. VM networks allows me to create multiple networks and create my IP address ranges upon those networks. So I have this CorpNet 01 network and this 192 network. Those are two separate networks. VMs attached to 192 will not see the CorpNet and vice versa. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, if I, as an administrator, have different data centers that have different IP ranges for different networks, I can abstract above that, and it doesn't matter. And the network adapters that me, as Contoso, want to see will not be exposed to anybody else, but they'll be able to now have this connection back to my physical network.
So would a good general practice perhaps be to create a new virtual network for each of these kind of sets of resources that you want to deploy?
I would create it at the for the same reason I create a subnet or a VLAN or something like that today. So if my SQL server and this other application server can run on the same network, there's no reason not to just have one network and have these two different services running on the same network. But if this SQL server and this SQL server have to be isolated, let's create two different VM networks for them, put them each on those VM networks. That's within my organization. Now, a hoster, obviously, Coke and Pepsi or whatever, they're not going to want them both on the same environment. So we'll make sure that they have totally isolated networks. The other thing is that I create those networks here, VM networks, and I can delegate to a tenant that they can have access to create their own VM networks. But not only do I have to do it if I'm connected to a hoster, but also to Windows Azure. So Windows Azure has networking capabilities where I can extend my network up to Windows Azure. Now, you're probably more of an expert on that Windows Azure stuff as me, so maybe you want to take a little bit to explain that while I move to the next section.
Yeah, sure, most definitely. While you're getting that going, you know, with Windows Azure, you can set up a virtual private network from your on-premise site up to Windows Azure, and then you can define in Windows Azure for that virtual network any kind of IP address ranges that you'd like for the VMs that get spun up there. So what you'd want to do, right, is set up that tunnel up there so that it's really a logical extension of your on-premise network, right? And you could treat it no different than like a regular branch office that you may have on another site, right?
So like today I have all my servers in Redmond and I'm accessing a server in New York. I have this network tunnel between them on my premises. Well, it doesn't matter if it's New York, it'd be Windows Azure. Now that's in my network, isolated, protected, and I'm able to access it and know that my paths and my packets are all totally secure and isolated to my environment, right?
Absolutely, yep.
Exactly. And to do that, by being able to do that, now I've enabled myself to be able to deploy services up there, knowing they're in my network, they're protected, they're isolated by my controls that I normally put on a regular server that I deploy. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're going to do now. But we're going to do it with the self-service request. So Luis wants to request a new environment that's deployed. He can do that simply by logging into the self-service catalog and making that request. All right. And with this request, I'm going to choose, do I want to deploy this thing locally or do I want to deploy it up in Windows Azure? So I'll scroll down here and I'll pick Cloud Resources. I'll create a new virtual machine and I'll go to the request, and inside this request I will populate it with the things that I really care about. And that is, you know, the machine name, and as you'll see later on, you know, what size, t-shirt size or whatever, I can create these particular offerings and just use the right ones up there.
And now, it could be, and this is a very simple example, of course, of creating a VM or creating, you know, one simple deal, but you could, of course, have it to create a whole subset of resources of whatever you'd like, right?
Exactly.
The portal is fully customizable, right, too. So, you know, this one question that I'm sure you get asked is like, well, can I put this in cornflower blue, right,
well,
or whatever,
look at the
right?
Fact here. This is skin, too, Contoso Electronics. It's not the standard SharePoint web form.
Right.
And that is one of the beauties of this, is that I can not only skin that, but like you said, when I create the request offering, I ask what variables I want. And I only ask the variables that I need, and I can fill in the rest. And we'll show you what that looks like in a few seconds here. Mm-hmm. So I fill in the information I want. I don't want a medium size. I want to go extra small or small, because this virtual machine just needs to be running. I need to connect to it for some things. And this SLA gives me the opportunity to choose what types of service level agreements do I put on top of it. Well, I want this virtual machine to be installed on the public access. So I could do public, or I want it to be local, and I could do local. And I can choose what SLA, and I'm going to choose silver. And again, I want it to be installed publicly, so it's going to deploy it up on Windows Azure. And to do this, after I fill out the form here, hit next, and then submit the request. And at that point, a service request ticket is created, and that's passed into service manager. Service manager looks at those requests, and it follows through the activities inside of there. The first one is an approval process. Do I want to auto-approve it or manually approve it? And then run an orchestrator runbook task to go and actually do the work. And let's take a look at what that work is. So what we're going to do now is we have an automated runbook, and that's going to run and perform the deployment of the service and or of this VM inside of Windows Azure. We're just going to leave that running. But what we're going to do is look at what the runbook is actually doing and show you some of the power that Orchestrator gives you and how to more easily and simply customize these applications here. All right, so I'm going to close out of here. And let's launch the Orchestrator Runbook Designer. This is a graphical interface for creating complex tasks. I mean, it allows you to simply drag and drop things on there and create these powerful workflows without having to write lines and lines and lines and lines of code. So we're going to look at a specific runbook that we've been working on here, and that is in this runbook right here. As you can see, it's a fairly complex runbook. I mean, it's not like massively complex, but what it does give you is an idea of some of the things that you can do within Orchestrator. And this runbook basically gets data from something, initialized data. We call this runbook with a chunk of data, and then it goes through all of these different steps. So first of all, it finds out what service request is available to it and what's been called, and it finds out who the affected user is, and it goes through and starts doing the work that you requested inside of there. Get the name of the virtual machine you asked for, get the size you created, get the connectivity, whether it's on-premises or in Windows Azure, get the SLA you desired, the silver mode that I chose. After it does that, it goes and creates a new VM with the VM name, and it says what kind of network connectivity. Is it running on the corporate, or is it running up in Windows Azure? This one's going to run in Windows Azure, so it's going to follow the public access mode. And there, we're going to use the Windows Azure Orchestrator IP to, or integration pack, to run commandlets up on Windows Azure and do the work we've requested of it. Get properties of the storage that we have within Windows Azure, set it or create or get a container that's already available, deploy that cloud service, and create the virtual machine on top of that. Mm-hmm. That's all fine and good, but you know, at the end, I want to do things like close the service request or
right.
notify someone that that's happened and that, hey, here's the IP address and the connection to go back into it. So one of the cool things that Orchestrator allows you to do is it allows you to add runbook activities. This isn't the runbook that is running and creating that virtual machine. This is a copy of it because we want to keep that one to run.
Right.
But if I look here, I can check out the runbook. And then I can go through and I can make changes to this runbook. And the first change I'm going to make is I'm going to drag and drop this send email task. So we're going to link that to the create VM. So now the first thing I need to do is...
looks like you have that email icon up there above the yellow notification.
Exactly.
On the right-hand side for the activities.
And I just drag that on here and drag it on the board. And at that point, I have now an email task, a generic email task. And if I look at the properties here, it's really easy to figure out what I want to do. Okay, your machine is done. So even there, add the recipients. Now one of the cool things about recipients and these types of things is I could even subscribe to some published data that was created back in. You know, we had that user account way earlier in this runbook process. I could pull that information. Or maybe I just want to send this to a notification channel and say everybody who gets an email here would know that this email gets created. So for this example, I'll call it luis@contoso.com. It was created. I could add CC and all those other things to it as well.
Can you use like regex expressions here too for pulling different kinds of criteria?
I'm not fully sure of what everything you can do within the Orchestrator published variable, but you can do a lot as far as both subscribing to published data as well as variables that are global variables within the environment. Mm-hmm. I believe you can do some types of regex types expressions, but it's normally the best thing to do is just pass data that you already know you already have, and that's mm-hmm. in the published data aspects here. So when we go to the subject, we typed in some stuff, but we could add in, subscribe to public data and get that instance name. So instead of doing it in the subject, we'll do it in the text file. So published data, and we'll go back to the activity that, we have to connect it first. So let's cancel this out. Let's finish this right here. Okay, we'll cancel this out. We'll connect from here. We'll connect these two icons together, and we've basically set a link. So not this create VM will continue to do its little runbook creation until it finishes, but it'll also send that email that's beginning to create the account. It's enabled. We'll click on this, and we will join the properties again. Again, the subject, this is where we subscribe to the published data and say that because we got the create VM or any of the other tasks that we've done earlier today, but we'll use the create VM and we will choose on something like the VM instance name. So this VM was just created. And it'll send me an email with whatever VM name I gave it was just created. And for recipients, we can add Luis inside of here, or I could publish the data or whatever. I'm going to do luis028@contoso.com. And now he'll know every time a VM was created via this runbook that he's got a new virtual machine ready. Obviously, you'll probably want to publish that with whoever the sender was and that
right.
type of thing. But it's really easy to fill these things out. Not only do I do that, I go, who's it from? And that's smtp at contoso.com, or I could call it VM Creation, some mailbox.
Yeah, whatever the mailbox is to send the emails out, most definitely.
And what server it is mail.contoso. .com. Finish all that, hit finish here, and now I can check that run back in and run it, and anytime a service manager request is created through the service catalog and it's approved, it'll run this runbook, and at the end we'll send an email when my VM's created.
Right, and I think this is a really powerful solution, especially, I mean, even for folks who don't have a ton of, you know, or maybe even any scripting knowledge. I mean, it's a drag and drop.
Yeah.
So you could see how just with, you know, dragging things over and just going through some wizards, you could set up a really powerful scenario here.
Exactly. And that, you know, combine that with some of the stuff we were learning about PowerShell earlier today. I mean, I should not be afraid of creating automation anymore.
No.
If I ever was, I mean, this is the time, because you have an easy way to just drag and drop these things into the interface. You have an easy way to create your automated PowerShell scripts, put them all together, pass, you know, create inside of here a script that goes off and does something, drop it in as a block right here, and you're good to go.
Yeah. All right. Well, you've seen a lot here in this module.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, we're really, really giving you the power to, you know, deploy self-service portals, go create resources, and then automatically have those resources provisioned across whatever you want, on-premise and, in this case, in this module, in the cloud, right?
Cloud.
You want a VM in the cloud? Well,
it's
done.
There it is. Exactly.
All right. Well, we're going to keep on going. Stay tuned. Keep watching the course. Till the next module.